Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of the IAMUniversity.com, calling to you live from the streets of Washington, D.C., as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, hoping that Jason got my co-host, Jennifer Carter, unmuted. Jennifer, are you there? Well, hopefully he's working on it. And I've got Jennifer Carter, my co-host from EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com, on the air with us today. We've got a great show lined up for you, a couple of great guests. And Jennifer, just let me know when you get here. We spent the weekend at JV Alert Live here in Washington, D.C., and I actually got to spend some time with Jennifer as well as a number of my other students, Stephen Ann Holmes and Rhonda Del Baccio. Some of the bachelor students like Tommy Lindley and Carmen Cook, we had just a great time. It was another amazing JV Alert. Got to see Ken McArthur and a bunch of my other friends like David Preston, and spent the last couple of days with Jason Ullman, who's been traveling with us here from Atlanta. So it was certainly a great lesson in relationship marketing just this weekend. Let's see, do we have our guest on the air yet? Anybody hear me? Well, let me see if I can go work out these technical glitches, guys, and hopefully get a few lines unmuted while we're doing that. So bear with me while I try and get some lines unmuted, and then we can get this show on the road. As you know, it's not often that we run into technical glitches here on Blog Talk Radio. Luckily, when you've got a Google phone, you can connect to the internet from anywhere, so hopefully I can get into the actual Blog Talk Radio system from my Google phone. Life is grand when things work the right way. In, we're making progress. I think this is actually going to work just lovely. Facebook's looking good. Jennifer, are you there yet?
I am here.
Yay! Technology is wonderful, isn't it?
Indeed.
Well,
you can do this from anywhere in the world. It's now officially proven.
It is, absolutely, isn't it? So how are you doing? I'm so glad we got everybody unmuted.
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful. So did you have a good time at JV Alert?
What's that?
I think we're meeting up.
Jennifer. I was talking to Jennifer.
I think this is the other Jennifer, the Jennifer Carter here.
Oh, it's you, Jennifer. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
No, this is Jennifer McLean.
I'm sorry, Jennifer McLean. I'm so glad you made it. I'm so glad we got both Jennifer.
You know what's funny, Gina and Jennifer, we're all of us are on the road. Well, maybe not Jennifer McLean today, and things are kind of technical and a little bit on the messed up side, but it's perfect. It's God speaking here, because our guest today is Jennifer McLean, who has, among other things, she's about healing releases. And you know what? Even though everything's kind of crazy and there's noise all around us, we can just let it go. It's all
you know
okay.
What? That is such a perfect thing. You know, this is really interesting, because what inevitably happens with me and these kinds of shows is this kind of thing. And I know now that the reason this kind of stuff happens is because it's a wonderful entree point into how to approach your life in a way that is with ease and effortlessness instead of blame and upset and so on. So every, you know, I've had so many instances, anyone who knows my work before, I've had so many instances of this kind of thing happen on these kinds of shows, and they're just wonderful entree points. So the people that are listening, if you could just right now just take a nice breath and know that this is, you know, things happen for a reason. And I don't say that because I'm being Pollyanna. I say that because things happen because we create them so that we can use them as points of access to realize where we are in the world and where we want to be. So this is perfect, brilliant, as always.
We planned this just for you, Jennifer, actually. We planned that both Gene and I
you
would be away
from our office
to technically mess things up so that we could demonstrate to the world, as you said, that stuff happens.
I'm back. I made it back. Bill just made a wrong turn and lost the cell connection. So if it happens again, know that I will be back shortly.
You know what, Gina, I think we need to give a proper introduction to Jennifer McLean. Now
we most certainly do.
One of the things that I was so impressed about Jennifer, well, about so many different things. One, she's got a centeredness to her, and I believe it's because of what she's studying, what she's learned, which everybody will hear about her shortly. But let's give a few details here. Jennifer is the author of The Big Book of You, as well as a book called The Credibility Factor. We're going to talk about both. If you're online, you can go to healingrelease.com, and later on we're going to talk about something called Healing with the Masters, which is amazing. Jennifer's worked, talked with, and done some really interesting thing with the who's who of spirituality, letting it all go and being your most powerful you. In fact, I'm really excited to hear about all of them, but especially I think he mentioned you've talked with Marianne Williamson. Is that correct?
Actually, Marianne's going to be on my fall show.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to have her on the show yet, but I did just recently go to her workshop. But yes, she is going to be on the fall program. But I had Neil Donald Walsh and Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, all kinds of fun. There's a couple of folks that might not be as well known, but are huge within their communities, like Genpo Roshi, Guy Finley, and Richard. I can't remember his last name. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, it's so funny because last night I was sitting here talking to Jason Ullman, and I just asked him last night, do you happen to know Neil Donald Walsh? Because I'm looking for somebody that can connect me with them. I guess I now have my answer.
You have your answer.
Wonderful. Oh, wow. What a lineup of people that you've talked to.
Yeah, so if your viewers are interested, they can sign up now for the fall program. We just 2 weeks ago finished the spring program, they can go to healingwiththemasters.com, and if you sign up, there's actually several gifts that you'll get from me automatically, and you'll be on my list. And I have fun with my list. So
you do have fun with your list, because I've had the chance to be on it for a while. Jennifer, I want to ask you this. So you were doing, I think, some really extra profound things with spirituality and how it really integrates with the day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. Have you always been doing things in the realm of, I don't know what else to call it, spirituality being centered, or were you doing something else before?
You know, I've had this dual life as a marketer in corporate America and a healer with my own private practice for about 20 years, about 25 years for marketing and about 18 years for healing. So I've been on a spiritual path for almost 27 years. When I was 23, I, you know, what guides most people to a spiritual path is a challenge in your life, and it guides you to relook, rethink. And there isn't anyone on the planet right now that isn't relooking and rethinking. There are too many things going on around us, and there's a purpose for them, I believe. And I actually believe that many of us are seeking and asking new questions, and that seeking and asking new questions creates a vibrational resonance in the world that says, well, if you want to go over there now instead of where you're at, then everything that isn't in vibrational alignment with where you're at in this moment is going to show up for you to be released. And that was my personal experience as well. I started asking questions, like, why is that like that? And what's going on with that? And those are the questions we start with, and then we eventually get to, why am I behaving this way? And that's what happened for me. And I was sitting watching, was drawn to a show on TV by Shirley MacLaine called Out on a Limb, and it was the first real show on television I'd ever seen, and probably almost since, that really dove into the alternative way of viewing the world that I was in at that moment. And I read every single one of her books after that, and that started my spiritual journey. And then when I was 28, I had a terrible, terrible, terrible case of TMJ, temporal mandibular joint. I had a headache for basically 3 straight years. And I was about to go into surgery, and this pamphlet flew off a table into my lap. And when it flew off the table into my lap, that was kind of weird to start with, and I was a little startled by that. And the pamphlet was about managing TMJ, and I was in a doctor's office getting ready for surgery at the time. And it was a couple, it was an orthodontist who had figured out a way to create a splint that helped correct the TMJ, the jaw problem. And his wife did cranial sacral therapy. And the first visit, I had relief. Within 2 weeks, I was out of pain, and with 6 months, I was cured of a 3-year headache and migraines 5 days a week. And I'm like, okay, I'm in again. And I learned how to do cranial sacral therapy. That was the start of my training. And then I was so in with cranial sacral therapy that I learned 3 other disciplines of healing. And then started my practice. But many of these things come to us because of the life challenges. And our opportunity now is to bring a consciousness to ourselves around this. The opportunity now is to say, well, okay, instead of that's happening to me, or I am being a victim of that, instead we get the chance to say, you know, I created that because I want something different. And whatever's going to show up in my life is going to show up now because I'm asking for it. And I'm asking to be, what I call vibrating at a different level. It's a vibrational match is what we create in our lives. So if you're creating something that's challenging, that's a vibrational match to where you're at right now. And likely it's also helping you to guide you to a new place. So the vibrational match then is with what you want. And we can't vibrate with what we want until we're vibrating with what we want. I mean, we can't get what we want. There's this saying I heard once where we plant the seed of desire, we plant the seed of intention, and then there's this gap between what we desire and want and what when we get it. And I call that gap God's area of preparation. Because if we got it today, we probably aren't ready for it, really.
I have such a great example of that, Jennifer.
Yes.
I had been sick for about 10 years and almost died a couple years back.
Uh-huh.
But a year ago, even after I had gotten better, the one thing that still was there was I had a portacath in my chest through which I received IV pain medicine around the clock.
Right.
About a year ago, around March 1st, I decided it's finally time. I'm tired of this. I don't want this medicine. I don't want support. It was just not what I wanted. And I put my mind to, by June 5th, my birthday, I was going to have this port surgically removed, be completely free of the IV pain medication. Now, I'd been on it for 10 years, so there's going to be some level of withdrawal that's going to happen, and I knew that. But I really knew I wanted to be free of this. So on March 1st, I started doing visualizations, put the intention out there. 9 days later, I went to change the bandage. Mm-hmm. The port popped out in my hand. And the wound, when it did, looked like it had been closed for like 6-7 months.
Oh,
when I went
God.
To the emergency room, the doctor's like, oh, that's impossible. I'm like, well, then why did it just happen 20 minutes ago? So you're right. Until I put the intention out there, mm-hmm. it wasn't going to change anything at all.
That's
well,
right.
And I did put the intention out there, I manifested it in days.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and that is how it works. And seriously, it can happen in days, and it might take 2 years.
Absolutely.
So it's a cautionary tale. When
yep.
I left my corporate job in 3 years ago, and I was doing, you know, I had a healthy six-figure salary. I was doing very well. I was quite successful, but I was dead inside. I couldn't do it anymore. I was so upset with it, I couldn't do it. And I walked away in a moment of extreme emotion, which I know now that I could have changed my feeling about my job in the moment. I could have done what you did and visualized something and worked a little bit differently in that moment with more of the tools that I have at hand now. It's funny, when you start teaching, it's the best thing I've ever done is to start teach this work, because now I listen to myself every day. As
you
I
do,
teach.
Don't you?
And gosh, Garden, I really like, oh God, well, I better apply that today. And I apply it a lot more now that I teach it. I was then, and I had these beliefs.
Well, you feel like a hypocrite if you don't, right?
Yeah, yeah, and it's even beyond feeling like a hypocrite. That's definitely part of it, but it's also, I'm listening to myself as I speak, saying, oh, wow, yeah, okay. There's 3 or 4 things today that are ready to be addressed around these topics.
Yes.
So I didn't apply them directly as I did then. I just walked away, and I went into a place of real poverty. I was seriously weeks away from living in my car. And, you know, I'd had a healthy six-figure salary. So a friend of mine pointed out the other day, he said, well, you went through your own personal recession, 2 years before everyone else did, so you could help us all out of it. Because now I'm very successful. I've got, this is the first year that I have six-figure months. And it's really a huge change, and it happened within a period of about a year and a half that I went from zero to six-figure months in this past year and a half, and it all has to do with the work that I've been doing. And, of course, I was also a marketer, and I have a model that I call credibility branding that I also applied. But one of the things I want to talk to your audience about specifically is I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs in your audience. And
yes.
And one of the things that we as entrepreneurs kind of get hung up on is we want it now. We have an idea and we want it now. And there's nothing wrong with that energy. It's lovely. It's what makes us entrepreneurs. But I also know that what I have this saying, which is don't make your dreams pay your mortgage. And what that means is, yeah, so if you have this big dream, and you have a large amount of money that you're looking for and anticipating and visualizing, and there's a project that's going to give you that money, you think could give you that money, don't put all of your dreams to pay your mortgage. Don't drop all your other life to pursue that one dream that could pay your mortgage, because that creates way too much pressure on the dream. And that pressure stops the energy flow. So if you can have, especially in these challenging economic times, if you can have things in the background working for you, other jobs, maybe even careers. Like, for example, I left my job in marketing because I was burnt out. And a year later, I had to get back into it because I had zero income and I started my freelance business, even though I never wanted to do marketing again for the rest of my life. And I started that freelance business and did okay with it. I mean, my first year was okay. I was able to pay my rent again. I was able to get gas again. I was able to continue to live in a home. Even though I didn't want to do that, I did that, and it helped me gain my footing again so that I could create the life I have now with my dream. And now my dream fully pays my mortgage, but there's no pressure on my dream to pay my mortgage. I was able to go back to the field that I knew and was good at and had contacts in and make some money so that I could survive long enough to really, and in some places even thrive, where I could thrive so that I could then really have the energy and the time to pursue that intention of the healing work and the you know, the Big Book of You, my book, and healing with the masters, you know, speaking with the leaders in spirituality. And those are the things I wanted. Marketing wasn't what I wanted, but in order to pursue what I wanted, I really had to have some kind of financial foundation. And it's really all just moving our energy and our perception around these things. You know, my perception was I hated marketing and I never wanted to do it again. Well, I lost all my clients with that kind of an attitude. That's what happened. And then I said, well, marketing is a means to an end, and I actually am pretty good at it. It's not hard. So I could use it. And then the universe said, oh, okay. If you think about it that way, sure, here's a couple of clients. And actually, they're the nicest clients I ever had in my whole life. That time around. And I knew that I didn't want to stay there, but it was okay. You know, it's like, yeah, this is good. This is good. So the opportunity for us...
in the last year or two that you've been doing this stuff?
Yes. In fact, it's just been a year. I started healing with the masters on April the 16th in 2008. And
wow.
Yeah, it's been a year. It went from 0 to 80. In less than a year in terms of my business and my financial. But again, that's what happens when you're in vibrational resonance. And I know that the reason that happened, I went from absolute poverty to you know, pretty good wealth in less than a year, is because I went through it so that I could help others do the same. And I have this workshop that I did called Heal Your Life, Heal Your Business, that talks about how to clear so that you can have success and wealth. And then it talks about the details of running a business and the credibility branding model and how to use it to actually apply it to your business. One of the challenges I have with the online world is a lot of its tactics. And they're really cool tactics, and they're fun tactics, and they're interesting tactics, and they're like little puzzles that are fun. But I'm a huge believer in strategy. My last job, I was senior VP of strategy for large corporations.
We have so much in common. That's what I teach, is the strategic side of the internet marketing stuff.
That's right, and it's so huge. It's so huge because if you don't have a strategy, if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, and you're just doing something to make money, the energy behind it is not in alignment.
Precisely.
So, yeah. So, anyway, my life has been an interesting journey of this mix of spirituality and business, which has ultimately resulted in a spiritual business. I'm in the business of spirituality now, which is so much fun.
You said something there that is really an important thing for everyone to understand, the healing your life, healing your business. I have seen this myself over and over again, and I'm sure you have too. Until you heal yourself and you do the inner work, the outer stuff doesn't necessarily work right, and you don't necessarily find the success that you're looking for. Even if you're doing it perfectly, it doesn't bring the results.
Right.
It just doesn't do it. So for someone who's really struggling, because a lot of our listeners are either just getting started or have been at it for a while but does not get the kind of results they want,
mm-hmm.
Where do you have them start?
You know, one of the things that I learned from my show Healing with the Masters and speaking with the masters in spirituality, who have done basically the same thing. They have a spiritual practice, and they've been successful by teaching that practice. I mean, that's how they entered the world. And one of the things that I learned over and over and over and over again is they really, really, really are vigilant in having a daily practice. And the other thing that I noticed is they're not one-hour meditation sessions. They are things like waking up in the morning, and for 5 minutes before you get out of bed, you assess your day, not in a way of what do I have to do, but in a way of intention, of holding the day in a place of wholeness, in holding the day in a place of joy. I mean, right now as I'm saying it, I can actually feel the audience responding energetically, and that's also, I'm also a healer, so I can track, I track energies, and what I'm feeling right now is just by talking about that. You know, right now it's 9:25 in the morning in on the Pacific Coast. So anyone who's listening and you haven't quite started your work day, right in this moment, what's your day going to look like from an energetic perspective? And what is your plan from an intention perspective? Is my day going to be one of flow and ease? Yeah, there it is. My day is one of flow and ease. All opportunities are available to me. It's one big, huge, beautiful opportunity out there. And no matter what shows up, I now see it as an opportunity. And all kinds of interesting things are showing up. I can feel it. And that's how I start my day. And then on top of that, I usually do a 5-minute prayer of gratitude and appreciation. I look around at what I'm grateful for right now. That is such a huge thing, I can't tell you. There's this group called Abraham Hicks, and they are basically the people behind The Secret. The law of attraction was their vernacular. And what they say is appreciation is the closest thing they've ever experienced to the divine energy out there. So when you're in a moment of appreciation, you are in complete alignment with source energy, which is also within you. And that appreciation also creates a vibration of flow. So flow comes from appreciation. They're one and the same. So when I say flow, I'm actually talking about abundance. Flow and abundance are synonymous. So when you have moments of appreciation, appreciating what is around you right now, who's in your life right now that you can appreciate? Who's not in your life right now that you're happy about? Appreciating your pets, where you live, that you have a roof over your head, that you have a vehicle, that you know, even if there's $10 in the bank, appreciating that $10, that $10 will grow. I can't tell you how important this is. I did this. There was $5 in my hand, and that's all I had in the world. And it scared the crap out of me. And I turned it around, and I said, thank you, God, for this $5. I have $5 at least. I'm not on the street right now, and I have $5. Thank you, God. Thank you, Source. I mean, I say God. You can say whatever you want. Just thank you is fine. Thank you for this $5. And feel like, right now, just be thankful for what's in your bank account right in this moment. I can feel a bunch of you saying, how can I possibly be thankful for minus 25? Be thankful that there's a place for money to be held there for you. And so appreciation is a huge piece. So those two took 10 minutes, and they all have already completely shifted your day. And when your day is completely shifted, you're in a place of flow that is a creative force in the universe beyond anything. I'm a big fan of what's called the EM wave. It comes from a place called HeartMath. If you go to heartmath.com, you can find it. In fact, I actually have a discount. So if you go to healingwiththemasters.com/HeartMath, there's a discounted version of this. This is a little device. It's like a biofeedback machine that shows you when you're in a place called coherence. And coherence to me is a place of flow. And every day for 40 minutes, I use my EM wave to bring myself to a place of flow. And I actually use that to do my healing work with my lists. Sorry, I'm about to sneeze. Oh, it didn't happen. Sorry about that. So that was a little release.
Sneeze is over. I'd love to hear what the HeartMath does and how that works. I don't think I quite understand it. It's a device that somehow helps you align your energy.
Yeah. So it has a little clip that you put on your ear, and it measures your heartbeat and your breath. And it has it's just like a little biofeedback machine. It's smaller than a small cell phone. And you turn it on, and you start breathing. It comes with a little booklet that teaches you how to breathe and find coherence. And then there's lights that tell you when you're in coherence. So a red light means you're not, a blue light means you're on your way to coherence, and a green light means you're in coherence. And basically what it does is it trains you to find coherence anytime. So every day, I do this every day, and now when I'm out in the world without it, I kind of know the difference between when I'm in coherence and when I'm out. And prior to using the machine, I didn't. I've also learned about my own healing techniques. Sometimes I wear it when I'm working with clients and doing coaching with them. And then I learn that when I'm in a place of absolute healing and presence with my clients, I'm also in coherence. So it's a wonderful tool that I use every day. So there's that, you know, and there's basic things like good nutrition and exercise and lots of water. Lots of water is huge because our brains don't work if we don't drink about 8 glasses of water a day. So, you know, those, if you're an entrepreneur right now, if you follow those things, your life, your entrepreneurial life will change. You know, feeling appreciation, mapping out your day from a energetic perspective, saying that it's whole and it's gonna and things are opportunities. And what I'm saying there is I'm not forcing energy on the day. I am forcing the ego to change its perception that whatever shows up is an opportunity, not a challenge. And that's another huge thing that we can each do for ourselves, which is when something shows up, instead of being upset or victimized by it, we use it. I say this a lot. We use it. I use everything as a point of access to release the old material, unconscious material. What happens is my specialization is trauma. My fundamental specialization is birth trauma. And so what happens with the body is something happens and it gets stuck in cellular memory. And it gets stuck in cellular memory because the body is this miracle of holding. It holds on to things so that we can continue to thrive. If it didn't hold it, it would be running around our body wreaking havoc all the time and on our mind wreaking havoc. Repressed memory is the same thing. You forget it so that you can continue to live. Now, the problem with repressed memory, the problem with trauma that gets stuck in the body is it creates these little obstacles to the flow of energy. So it creates these moments where we can, it's like a boulder in a river. The river can still move around it, but it changes the flow of the energy. And the reason it's stuck again is so that we can thrive. So the body is actually doing us a favor by holding on to these traumas. And what I believe that in the future, there will be a time when we have a moment of trauma that within 72 hours, we actually play with the energies and work it out. That's what it's there for. It's there to be holding for us until we're ready to look at it, excavate it, and release it and realign it and repattern it. It's there because it's waiting for us to pay attention. So the things that trigger us, they've been filtered through these obstacles and show up in the world as a trigger, and that trigger is there for a reason. It's a catalyst for you to and a point of access for you to move into your body and to access that place of trauma and clear it. And there's all kinds of wonderful clearing tools. There's Ho'oponopono. I use Ho'oponopono 10, 15, 20 times a day. Every single time I'm triggered, even mildly, I use Ho'oponopono. Every time, I mean, so a mild trigger would be I see someone in pain and crying or in an argument. And I'm not triggered, I'm not angry, but I noticed it. It's part of the purview. I created that moment for me to use. And I go into the Ho'oponopono prayer. And then that's a point of access for me to release. There's The Work by Byron Katie. There's EFT, which is wonderful. There is the Sedona Method. There are so many things out there for us. So that's another piece of the daily practice, too, which is to my cat's going to get involved here, so I hope that's okay. my cat is agreeing with the conversation.
Don't worry about it. I just had 4 more people pile into my car, so.
There you go. Okay, we got all kinds of people on board here.
There's energy going here, Jennifer.
So the opportunity is to use the things that show up as a point of access to clear. So, and again, instead of seeing your day as, oh, that showed up and I'm a victim of it, and that showed up and sucked and I'm angry, which is that showed up and there's an opportunity here for me. And it showed up, and here's the other really, really cool piece. I call this the compression theory. This is part of my book. Is that it showed up because you're ready, not because you did anything wrong. If a big challenge has shown up, like a big illness or poverty or, you know, relationship failures, these things are showing up because we asked for them. And they showed that we didn't ask for that. We asked for something different, and the vibrational resonant of that's opposite realized that you have to go through this catalyst moment in order to prepare your vibration for what you want. So if you use it as a point of access to go into your body and say, okay, what's going on here? What am I feeling? This is part of my body dialoguing technique that I created. Are you familiar with Joe Vitale? He was in The Secret. So Joe wrote a book called The Key, and he covered my healing technique called body dialoguing in that book. And if you're interested, I could also talk to you at some point about how I got in The Key and how that was actually part of the credibility branding model that allowed me to create the credibility to move forward with a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now.
Well, we're absolutely interested. And Jennifer, this is what's interesting. You keep throwing out these new nuggets of wisdom and these things. I'm taking all kinds of notes here. One of the things that I keep, it's a feeling more than an understanding of what you're doing, is that it all flows. What you're doing flows, and it flows well with the challenges that we face. It's interesting you say that you're facing a challenge. It's because you're ready to deal with that, if I
yes.
understand it correctly, to take a look, to learn something from it, and then you're ready for the beyond that you really asked for. Is that kind of the essence?
That's
of
it, exactly. Yes. The things show up because you've asked for something different, and everything that it is not in alignment with what you've asked for has to be cleared to create the vibrational resonance, to raise your vibration to your dreams, to be in alignment with your dreams. So if you were in alignment with your dreams, you would have them. You don't have them, so you're not. So if we can change our perception about our life and know that we're now going to create. So when we have big dreams, when we move from a place of a little dream to a big dream, our life moves into a place of perceived chaos. And that's because everything that's not in alignment with the big dream needs to be released, realigned, and repatterned. And how do we release and realign and repattern that? And how do we know what needs to be released, realigned? It shows up in our face, what needs to be released, realigned, and repatterned. And when we take responsibility for that, when we take responsibility for the fact that, oh, look at that big, huge, honking piece of poop that's showing up in my life. How cool is that? That's showing up because I'm ready. Isn't that cool? That's a really nice way to change your life to want to flow. I mean, can you feel the energy of flow within that? It's like that huge honking smelly piece of poop over there that showed up in my life. That's there because I'm ready. Wow. I'm ready to manage that. I'm strong enough. I have the wherewithal. I have the tools at hand to manage that. That's why it showed up. It wouldn't have showed up if you weren't ready. So if you can change your perception now to say that huge mass of icky showed up because I'm ready. I'm ready for it because I asked for something different in my life. And that needs to be revealed, released, and whatever. That alone can shift the whole situation into something completely different. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine is in a small business, and they've had a line of credit with a bank for over 20 years of about $250,000. A month ago, the bank called her and said, in 30 days, you have to pay the $250,000 line of credit. It'd be a huge blow to a company right now in these times, huge blow. I think they'll probably work it out. But the interesting thing is that because she's a partner in the company, she's liable for this, right, personally liable. And she'd been trying to sell a house for the longest time and was so upset about not being able to sell this house. And it was just terrifying and scary. And then she found places of flow with it. You know, we worked together, and she found places of flow with it. And, you know, I kept saying, it's all fine. It's all good. It's all part of the divine plan. You don't know why. And don't question why. It's just part of the divine plan. It's part of what you're creating, and it's perfect. Even though it doesn't seem perfect, it is. And she's like, okay, and started to feel it. And we did some, you know, body dialoguing on why she wasn't feeling it. We went inside and moved some stuff around so that she could feel the energy of peace around this and trust the process. And then what happened with this line of credit is that, well, if she had sold the house, she would have had all that money. And guess who would have taken all that money? The bank. So do you see how this works? She was actually protected by not selling the house.
That's that's so interesting. That I think that when the crises moments come up, though, that the challenge is perhaps not for the more spiritually enlightened, but for those of us who are mere mortals.
No, for all of us, the challenge is to so here's the thing.
How do you deal with it? How do you
deal
with it? Moment and get back into the alignment. That's
yes.
And Jennifer, don't ever put that energy out there for us mere mortals. It's going to make it more challenging than ever for you. Do you agree?
No, you know what? I am right there with you, and I every day I have a moment of startle. That and I use that. So right now, I'm going to talk about two things. The first thing is, right now, I am in these moments of realizing that I have a lot of startle moments during my day. It's the same kind of moment of panic when something huge shows up. And I'm realizing that I have it's actually in my book. I've been working with this for a while, but it's showing up now big time because I'm ready to move into a place of peace within my life. That is my goal, is peace. My goal is no longer to it's not as focused on money, because when I was in extreme poverty, my focus was money. And now that money is flowing really well, and it's I'm now in this other moment of finding peace. And so it's the same kind of idea. When we have that moment of panic, we use that, right? So in that moment, you can't just say, I'm at peace, I'm at peace, I'm at peace, I'm at peace. It doesn't work.
You can ask for it, though. It's part of my daily prayer, this, and let there be peace. So we can ask
and let there
it.
Be peace.
Yes.
You can ask for it and hold the intention. But what I recommend is actually using the moment of panic, using it. Okay, name it. I am freaked out, panicked. I am at my wit's end, and I'm terrified. Use it. There's two things you can do with that. First of all, you use it to go inside your body. The next question I would ask is, where are you feeling this in your body? Where is this panic in your body? Ooh. So I'm feeling, there's someone in the audience right now that's actually feeling this, and it's in their chest. Their chest feels like it's just compressed right now. And so, okay, and it can hardly breathe. It can hardly breathe with it. And that's what happens when we go into panic. So I'm going to ask, if anyone is feeling this in their chest right now, I'm just going to ask you, what does it look like in there? What does it look like in your chest right now? And kind of in your mind's eye, you figure out what it looks like. What is it? And describe it to yourself. Okay. Okay, and I want you to notice that just simply by observing that, it's shifted and you can breathe now. And just feel that. Wow, I can breathe a little bit now. Just by paying attention to the moment of trauma, of panic. So what it feels like for this particular person is that something happened to them. When was the first time you felt this feeling of panic? There is a time, it feels like about 6 or 7, when you were in a moment of huge panic. There it is again. Now you can feel it rising again. There it is. And the opportunity is for you to come to yourself right now as an adult, to that 7-year-old, and just show up to that 7-year-old, and just show up. And for the rest of you on this call, it might be a different age, but this person is a catalyst for all of us. So at 7 years old, that you go, you bring your energy of you now, your full-grown, beautiful adult that's doing fine. And your little one is going to see you. And the first thing they're going to notice is, oh, I survived. Okay. There's a little bit of release there, just a little. And now you're going to be there as a support person for that little being, a support person that it never had in that moment of trauma. There you go. And you are going to be there present for them and available to them, and you are going to simply listen. You're not going to fix. You're just going to be present and listen. And that's really what all of us need, is just for someone to listen and be present and know that we've been heard. And they're going to tell you a little tale, and the words don't matter. Whether you can hear the words or not, just feel the essence of this. Feel the essence of what they're saying to you, and you can feel the rise and fall of energies and the emotions. And you are just holding them, either figuratively or literally. And they get to share. There they go. And you can feel that there's a little bit of a release there, too, now. And just that little bit has changed the flow. Now just notice your chest again. There it is. Now the next thing I would do is, because I'm not working with the person directly, I would start asking questions about it, and I would actually repattern what happened. Let me rephrase that. I would assist them to see an opportunity for repatterning. I don't do anything. I just watch. Watch and guide. So what the opportunity is to, I'm going to talk about creating a new blueprint. That's what repatterning is. In the 1980s, Dennis Waitley talked about this on The Secret. They did this visualization technique, and they measured it with Olympic athletes. It was the first time visualization was used with the Olympic team. And they measured and realized that the brain cannot tell the difference between the real race and the race in the brain, which is pretty interesting. And so what we do is we tell a brand new story. We create a new vibrational blueprint for the trauma that occurred before. So in this instance, I don't know what the trauma was, but there was something that happened, and we would retell the story. We would retell it so profoundly and so intricately that you actually create a new memory muscle. We create a new vibrational memory. And that new vibrational memory is at a higher vibrating rate, and it replaces the old trauma memory. And they've proven now that trauma gets stuck in a part of the brain that's tied into the sympathetic nervous system and creates a visceral response as a result. Memory sits at a completely different part of the brain and is basically just a picture. So what we do by repatterning, EFT does this, EMDR does this too, and repatterning does this, is it takes that trauma memory and moves it back to the place of where memory should be, so the visceral response is removed. And that's what I'm talking about. You use that moment of panic as a catalyst point, a point of access to go into your body to find out what's there that's creating this energy and this emotion. So the other thing that you can do, do you have any questions about that?
No, but guess what? My phone is going to die, and my charger is not charging it.
Of course, so there's a metaphor there for you. There's a metaphor there for you, Gina. It's all as it should be.
It is. So, Ms. Jennifer Carter?
Well, Ms. Jennifer is here, and her phone's not going to die just yet. And while
I'm going to stay here until it does, because I am really enjoying listening to this. And if I do die, know that I am still here in spirit.
Okay.
I'll have to connect with you sometime this week, Jennifer.
I would love that, Gina.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. In case I do die before the end, thank you so much for being here with us. I really appreciated it. And I know our listeners are getting a lot out of it. And I'm just going to go back to being quiet and hopefully not fall off the air.
Okay, thanks, Gina. Let's everyone hold energy for Gina's battery to last the duration. We're a powerful being, so we can just picture it. Just picture that at the very last minute, Gina says goodbye and then her battery goes. So the other thing that we can do with a point of panic when something really huge shows up is to breathe, to remember these words, which is, it's here because you're ready. It's here because you're ready. That's why it's here. And it's all in perfect divine flow. And then the next thing you can do after that is, once you've calmed down a bit, you can actually what I call catastrophize it. And what you do with that is you take it to the nth degree of what could possibly happen. And so I took it to homelessness. I'm like, okay, I could lose everything. I don't even have money to get a storage locker. I might have to just walk away. And my sister would put me up in her basement back in Canada. And would I be okay? Well, it would suck, but yeah, I would still be okay. And am I smart enough and talented enough and good enough and you know, work hard enough that I could probably dig myself out and do something different? Yeah, I know I could. I'm employable. You know, I could be fine. I'll be fine. Oh, there it is. I don't know if you all felt the shift, but there is a shift of, I'll be fine. No matter what happens, I'll be fine. When we get to that place of I'll be fine, the crisis before us is no longer this huge balloon of unknown. we catastrophize it to the nth degree so that we know that at the end of it, no matter what happens, we're going to be fine. So I want you to know that you've done this a million times before in your life. You've been in a moment of crisis. So, I want a way to prove to you something, okay? I want you to put your hand in front of your face and look at your hand. Just look at your hand. Okay, that means you're still here. You're still here, right? You made it through all those other crises. You will do it again and again and again. But this time you look at the crises in a new way. It's not something that's happening to you anymore. You now have it. It doesn't have you. You are now in command of your life. You know now that it's showing up because you're ready. It's showing up because you created the opening to create a catalyst for change in your life. Oh, my God. Can you feel the shift that just happened on that call? On the call, there's a lot of people that are starting to get this. You created this wonderful catalyst, and it is a wonderful catalyst. And if you reflect back on your life right now and think of the other wonderful catalysts that showed up that in the moment felt like awful, and instead of having a perception and an intention and an energy of we'll get through it, that's not it. That's not what life is. Life is not about getting through it. Life is about living it. And so when we can look at the catalyst / challenge as an opportunity to know that it's driving us into a new energetic vibration, then we bring a whole new sweetness to our life. Life is no longer about getting through and getting it done. It's not about get it done. It's about living a juicy life adventure. There is no destination here. There's only the wonderful, juicy life adventure that we're on. And now all these challenges become part of that juicy life adventure. It's like, oh, cool, look at this one. Wow. So just to kind of illustrate this point, I actually was on a call yesterday. I did this too. So if you've seen this before, just bear with me. So I was wondering, Gina, are you still there? Did we lose her? So, Kat, would you be open to? I'm going to walk all your folks through this. I want you to open your arms up wide. Oh, really stretch them up and out like you're hugging the sun. Your head's tilted back a little bit. Your shoulders are down your back. Can you feel that stretch there, Kat? Okay. So it looks like we might have lost everyone. So. Just everyone feel that stretch, and you're hugging the sun. Oh, and there's that beautiful, beautiful stretch. Yeah, that's it. And that's called expansion, and that's part of the flow of life, that expansion. Now just imagine as you're holding that you have to hold that for 7 hours. If you had to hold that for 7 hours, it would be painful. And now bring yourself back in and hug yourself and just bring yourself almost into a fetal position. I want your hands on the back of your back like you're hugging yourself. Your chin is tucked in and you're really, really in compression. And this is contraction. It actually feels pretty good too, doesn't it? But if you had to hold that, imagine holding that for 8 hours. That wouldn't be fun. And life, that is life. Life is moments of contraction and expansion. Life is moments of ebb and flow. And if we had moments of expansion for too long, it would be painful, and the same with contraction. So it comes and it goes. Winter is a moment of contraction that makes the way and prepares for spring and summer, moments of expansion. And that's what our life is too. And if we completely resist the moments of compression, we don't have to. We just know that they're going to happen. That we know there's going to be moments of showing up in challenges and using that as a catalyst to clear the obstacles within ourselves and move forward in a more elegant way.
I think that ebb and flow, that's just life, is it's so simple, but it's hugely profound, especially taking it back to the way you spoke about dealing with crisis in the crisis, in that not only this too shall pass. So those weren't your words, but what's the worst can happen? Okay, that's the worst. Okay, it would suck maybe, but would I live through it? Yes. And then could I climb out of it? Yes. Ah.
Right.
I'm not going to die. Instead of I know that I can be the queen of doing this, which is reliving the worst, or maybe even not even the worst, just the badness of the situation in my mind again.
Yes.
And again. And,
guess what? Okay, so
snowballs, right?
Exactly. But, and guess what kind of vibrational resonance that sets up? It is a complete obstacle to flow. So if you allow yourself to catastrophize it for a minute, not days, but for a few minutes, and get yourself to back to the place of flow again, and then the next time you feel that energy of panic again, you can just move yourself in a different direction or use it to go inside your body. And you know, for those of you interested, if you go to healingwiththemasters.com and sign up for that, there are several different tools that will help you with the body dialoguing part. There's actually a show that I did before that I took people through several body dialogings. So there's also a really cool process of Ho'oponopono that I used as well. So if you go to healingwiththemasters.com, all those gifts are yours for free, and they will guide you to some of this work that I'm talking about here in a more intricate and personal way.
Okay, thank you. I was going to ask about you kept mentioning that Ho'oponopono a couple of times. I didn't know exactly what that was.
Yeah, Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian prayer. I use what Elan Haleakala created, this movement of Ho'oponopono called self-identity Ho'oponopono, which is what I use. Joe Vitale wrote about him in a book called Zero Limits, a wonderful book. And basically, it's a prayer, and it's, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And I actually have now added my own body dialoguing technique to the prayer. So I say, I'm sorry. So it's about personal responsibility. Everything that shows up in our life, I am 100% the creative force of. And also that there's a... the people that show up that annoy the hell out of us usually are a gift to show us what's inside of ourselves that is ready to be released. Now, he actually cured an entire ward of the criminally insane over a period of 4 years. These people are people that were drugged and chained and had done very, very, very bad things. He never once met with them, not once. He never met them in person. He would sit in an office and look at their file, and he would do Ho'oponopono, and he would say, I'm taking responsibility for what they did. Not what they did, but the energy within him of what they did. So he would say, where's the violence in me? And this is what my book talks about this too. And that's why Ho'oponopono resonated with me so much, is because I kind of written some of these chapters before I heard his philosophy. Where is the violence within me, he would say. And every one of us, thoughts are incredibly creative. And if you have a negative or violent thought, it goes into the universe, and guess what war is? It's a conglomeration of all of our thoughts, of all of our violent thoughts, I should say. So he would say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And what I do now is when someone shows up that's triggered me, I say to myself, I'm sorry that this happened to you, that something happened to you. Like recently I felt victimized. And I said, by an old friend, and I say, I'm sorry, Jen, that something happened to you in childhood, that these really awful things happened to you that created a coping mechanism of being victimized. I'm so sorry that happened to you. So it's empathy for yourself, which is really important.
Wow.
The next piece is please forgive me. And it is a please forgive me for those who I may have hurt through thought, word, or deed by expressing this coping mechanism in the world. I was just doing the best I could, but I know that there are people that I hurt through thought, word, or deed by expressing this. I didn't know any other way, and they showed up, and they were hurt, and please forgive me. And I also do please forgive me for forgetting that I'm actually innocent, and they're innocent, and the person that showed up as a catalyst for this is innocent. Please forgive me for forgetting that I am divine love. And the next one is thank you. Thank you to this person for showing up to reveal to me the piece that I am ready to release. Thank you. And then the regular appreciation stuff, too, for what you have in your life. And then I love you. It's easy to go to I love you when you've forgiven yourself. And it's I love you for you. It's I love you for them. And it's I love you for the divine. And it's this beautiful place of love. And love is, of course, the highest vibrating flow of abundance there is. When you're in love, you're in abundance. And that's basically the prayer. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. I'm sorry that something happened to me, empathy. Please forgive me for forgetting that I'm innocent and for those who may have hurt through thought, word, or deed. Thank you for this person for showing up to reveal to me what I'm ready to release, what I'm ready to let go of, what I'm ready to forgive myself for, and thank you. And I love you. I love you, 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 I love you. Oh, and that creates the opening, and I do that every time I'm triggered, even remotely. If I see someone that's out there, I've created it. If I see someone that's in argument or disharmony, I've created that moment for myself, and I clear it. And when you clear it, you bring yourself into flow. When you're in flow, anything's possible. Am I alone again?
No, Jennifer, you're not alone. I'm experiencing the moment. This is, I think, the audience. I know that you have so much to teach, and I actually wish we had like 5 hours with you or something. As you were going through this, Jennifer, I was thinking about not only experiences in my own life, but people I've known who've been stuck in for decades, been stuck in anger and bitterness and victimization, and maybe genuinely victimized somehow or other.
Yep.
But I know we look at, and I've certainly looked at some of these people and judged them for saying, come on, get over it, let's move on.
Yep.
But I've then recognized I've had my own moments of feeling stuck or victimized for not decades and decades maybe, but for some period of time longer than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've just shared with us, and I know this is just a small portion of what you do, but I think it is so powerful. It's so interesting. You talked about even looking at the person that you feel victimized by, the
mm-hmm.
offender or whatever, and looking
use
at them
that.
saying, you know, I forgive you. I'm sorry that something happened to you that compels you to act this way. That's sort of the way I got. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're actually saying it about yourself, because what they're showing you is your own victimization and what the people right now that resonated with you. And so for those people, Kat, after the call, I would recommend that afterwards you think about those people that are victimized. But you actually they're showing you the victim that's inside of you. And what you are ready to do now is forgive yourself. So you're not saying I'm sorry for them. You're saying I'm sorry that I had something bad happen to me and that I was a victim at some point in my life. Either, you know, and it could have been expressed more as a thought. You may have never, ever verbalized it or expressed it in the world as behavior, but it was a thought. And that thought is as powerful. We've proven this, that the thought is equal to the what shows up in the world. They've got brain scans on this. So when you own that and say, I was a victim, and when I showed up as a victim in the world, I victimized others, and please forgive me for those who may have hurt, because my behavior was the only thing I knew how to do. So you're really forgiving yourself for your behavior. You're taking full responsibility that they are reflecting to you something within you that's ready to be observed and released. And it's forgiving yourself. Because all of what we see is a reflection of us.
It is. If I can share this with you, this is, I'm having my own profound little or big experiences here. So as you started to go through this, it reminded me a bit somewhere in Marianne Williamson's book, you know, The Return to Love. She
mm-hmm.
talks about an experience of somebody offending her, and then she gets to the point of, at least as the way I understand her book there, she's saying, I forgive you, the offender, and I release you to the Holy Spirit. And when I first read that, I thought, well, that's interesting. Stop being angry at somebody. And so I started doing that for perhaps offenders or whatever in my life, and there was a big release.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're talking, and that's huge. I think that's a hugely
absolutely.
Thing.
That's a big piece of what I'm talking about.
But you're talking about something maybe different or in addition to, which is, you know, looking back at me, it doesn't matter who or what they are or what they're doing or whether you, well, it doesn't matter if you forgive them or not, but you're looking at yourself and saying,
yeah.
I forgive you. I forgive me, Jennifer Carter, for feeling like a victim. I forgive me for acting as I acted because I felt these ways. And let's just move forward in life. And I just hearing those words, Jennifer, and feeling the experience of thinking that way, if you will, it does lift this huge, for me, this huge, not only emotional burden, but more so a, you know what, it's okay. I don't have to feel, what's the word? maybe suppressed by this challenge.
Yes,
this person or
this absolutely.
Person held back by it, and I can,
yes.
Go on with my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so just imagine doing this constantly. So what happens, we all of us have a lot of trauma that are in our body. I mean, we were born, right? You know, if we came through from a womb through that experience, either we've got trauma. So the trauma shows up in our life in different ways as patterns. And if we can use these patterns, I keep saying this, use them as points of access to go into your body and release. You can use my body dialoguing and Ho'oponopono is a great way. But just imagine if every time you saw something and were a little disturbed. So I have this other saying in my book, The Big Book of You, which is if it sticks, it's yours. If it doesn't stick, it's not. So if you see something and it sticks to you and you have an emotional response, that's your cue. Use Ho'oponopono, use EFT, use the work by Byron Katie, use the Sedona method. Use these things in those moments of when you got stuck, when it stuck to you, because it showed up because you're ready to release that piece. That's why it's there. So just imagine if you spent your day, and it doesn't take long. I mean, the Ho'oponopono takes me about 5 minutes, and I have completely altered my flow from that moment of upset to a moment of release and forgiveness that's a thousandfold greater than the upset ever was. And that flow opens the floodgates of what you want to you, that release.
And now, just out of curiosity, you have all of these books and stuff on your site, right? The Big Book of You, all of them, people can find. Healing of the Masters or Healing Spirit, right?
Yeah, there's a couple things I'd recommend. If you go to healingrelease.com, you can. There's a couple of products there. The Ho'oponopono, I have an 8-week audio course called Ho'oponopono and the New Spiritual Philosophies that's quite popular. I also have my series. If you go to Big Book of You, you can purchase the Big Book of You, and there's also a teleseminar series that's available there as well, which really helped a lot of people. And it goes through many, many sessions of body dialoguing with folks on the call that's related to concepts from the book. And then there's also Healing Life, Healing Business, which was really a profound success. Everyone who's taken this course has gone on to do very well in their professional life. And that's because the first 2 days are healing, releasing the obstacles to success and wealth, creating a new vibration of wealth. And then the last 2 days are many of the tactics, principles, and the strategies that I talked about how to be an entrepreneur and how to be a business person. And by the last 2 days, you are so open and ready that the content just sticks to you and goes into you. And many people on the next day have started blogs and started Twitter and started doing things that they never imagined they could do. And it's because they spent 2 days clearing the obstacles, opening the space for the material to stay with them and for them to act on it. So that's also available. There's 3 products there. There's a CD, a streaming version, and a DVDs. So that's healing. If you go to healingrelease.com/healingbusiness.htm, that will get you there to those products.
Okay. And in a few minutes, I want to get to the credibility branding thing because I know that that's important for people listening here as well.
Sure.
But before we do, I am so attracted to the things that you're talking about with the healing release. It's interesting. You know, we think, you said towards the beginning of the call, Gina talked about it, the business is not just about doing strategies, or not strategies, tactics, you know, do this
right
thing, that thing. It's about a bigger strategy.
Yes.
But even before then, if logically, it would not seem that, who cares what a personal life is like, if you do the stuff you're supposed to do in business, you know, write the blog, you know, make the sales call, whatever it is, then
mm-hmm.
you're going to have success.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, you know, our emotions, who we are, what's going on around us, affects how effective we are with people. No matter what business, what our job is, this stuff, they have real life effects on you. And I think this stuff, if our foundation is shaky because
mm-hmm.
of whatever's inside of us, then we're just not effective. But
I am. You know, it's funny because I'm a marketer, right? That's what I was for 25 years. And I tell people kind of on the side that, you know, 90% of it is intention and energy and vibrational resonance, 90%. And the other 10% is marketing. I can have the most remarkable campaign put together in the universe, and if my energy is off from it, it will not work. I can have the lamest campaign put together ever that I slash together in 2 days and have it bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars because my energy is in alignment with it. So marketing is really about having the peace out in the world in three dimensions that that gives a sense of security, safety, and credibility. And everything before and after that is you and your energy. I'm a big fan of brand and brand strategy. And in fact, in Healing Life, Healing Business, I actually walk everyone through the credibility branding model and how it works and how to use, how to increase your, I used it for myself. I mean, I helped hundreds of executives make millions of dollars over the years, and I'm like, what the hell with this? I'm going to use this on me. And so I elevated my status in less than a year to a place where I am now an influencer. And I'm not saying that with ego. I'm just saying that as a fact. And how you do that is by creating credibility. And so when you create many moments of credibility, you are creating an energy within your and for your audience of trust. It's like, boy, this person is for real. I really should buy from them because they're for real. And you know, and I can walk you through ways of the there's points of credibility that are foundational, and what I realize in hindsight from a spiritual perspective is those points of credibility also, when you believe them, your energy is at a different place too. So there's lots of people who don't have degrees who don't believe in themselves, which is ridiculous, but if they can do other things that add that level of certification that they feel they need with a degree, then they're fine. And all that's happening there is that they are changing their vibrational resonance, and they're also changing it for their audience. And that's kind of what credibility branding's about, which is thinking outside the box, not just putting up the blog, but using the blog as a platform for conversation with the leaders in the industry. Using the blog to repost someone who is very influential in your industries, and then telling the person that you reposted it and establishing a relationship with them. My relationship with Joe Vitale was a perfect example of credibility branding. You know, I love him, and he's a mentor for me. And I wouldn't recommend that you go after someone unless you love them, unless they're a mentor, because it's inauthentic. So authenticity is a huge piece of this. But, you know, I loved him, and I just reached out and told him. I said, I you're just the best thing. You've changed my life. You've been a catalyst for change for me. And he brought me back. Who knew? And it's because I was in that moment of authenticity and really feeling it, and he got it. And then we started a dialogue. And when I wrote my book, The Credibility Factor, I asked him if he would write the foreword. And he said yes. So that added credibility to the book, right? When you get a good endorsement, that's huge credibility. The endorsements for the credibility factor, if you go to credibilitybranding.com, you look at the credibility factor. At the moment, it's still an ebook. I'm going to be shifting it in the next little while. If you sign up to Healing Life, Healing Business, you automatically get the credibility factor as part of the package. But what happened is he wrote the foreword to my book, which is a point of credibility, and we established even a tighter bond. And then he found out that I was a healer when he got ill, and I offered my healing capabilities. So this is a mixture of credibility branding and universal law and the law of attraction in action. And so I asked him if I could work with him from healing, because I loved him and I wanted to help. So he experienced my healing and liked it, enjoyed it, and so much that I didn't know at the time that he was creating a book called The Key, which is about different healing methods and clearing methods. So he invited me to be a participant in The Key and wrote a chapter on my work. Do you see how all this happens? That was a huge point of credibility for my healing work. I could now tell the world that I'm in a book that was covered by Joe Vitale. And everyone goes, oh, well, instant credibility. Now they're more engaged in who I am. This is how it works. So then I've been in several other books. This is credibility branding. So you use the points of access to the influencers that you love and reach out and talk to them. And that's kind of what that model's about. So it's all incorporated as part of the same energy system.
So building this credibility, what you said earlier is true. That's one of the biggest sticking factors for a lot of people that I work with, and even me. You know, I'm not a best-selling author yet either, although now I'm in a couple of books just recently, and now maybe there's a book coming that's in the works. But,
right.
But even up to that point, so many people say, well, I'm not a Joe Vitale yet. I'm not a Marianne Williamson. And you know, and at one point, Joe Vitale wasn't the known Joe Vitale either.
Right.
Wasn't known as Marianne Williamson either. How did they get there? That's the big question. And
yeah, so I would say to you, what if you were Joe Vitale? What if you were Marianne? What if you were those people?
And why
what
not?
If you could be? And can you feel the difference? I want you to just feel that right now. What if you were the Marianne Williamson and the Joe Vitale at that level? What if? What does it feel like in your body to be that?
Huge. Yeah, what if, why not? And I think, well, let's continue this exercise, because I know there's a lot of people listening who are thinking
okay.
about the people that they want to be. I'm sorry,
right.
a little back. The people that, not that they want to be those people, but they want to have that kind of credibility. And
yes.
This is, how do people get to having, feeling, and reaching that kind of credibility?
Okay, well, let's do it right now. So who are the people that you would like to emulate?
Oh, absolutely, Marianne Williamson,
okay.
Oprah Winfrey.
Okay. So let's feel into your body right now. Bring your energy into your body, and the rest of you on the call, bring your energies into your body, and just okay. I'll take you actually more on a guided. I want you to feel that there's a little ball of light that's hanging out above your head, and that ball of light is humming at this beautiful vibration of perfect love and peace and joy and abundance, health and wholeness. That's it. And it has these layers of these beautiful energy. And what I want you to realize is you're staring in that beauty of absolute perfection, this ball of light. And it's not too big. It's just, you know, about the size of a golf ball. That this beautiful ball of light is you at your core. You are the perfection of love and light. And as this ball, as you realize this ball drops into your body. And it starts to flow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper within you. And as it moves past, all your different cells start to hum at this vibration of peace. It starts reminding your cells what it feels like to be peace, what it feels like to be joy. And as you move in deeper and deeper, you can feel that that's actually creating relaxation in your body. And it brings you to the place within your body that's right in the center of your being. And all the whole time, there's also this wave of energy that's moving out to your limbs and back in, reminding the cells in your limbs. That's it. So your whole body's involved. And there's just a place in the center of your being, right in the center of your body, just below your heart, in the middle of your body from front to back and side to side. It's called the sacred chamber. And within this sacred chamber is the place where we are most connected to ourselves and where we're most connected to divine energy. And as the golf ball moves its way into this place, and you bring your attention and energy inside this sacred chamber. There we go. There's this almost atmospheric shift and change into silence, into peace, into calm, into support, into love. There we go. And now you're fully, fully in this sacred chamber. And you can feel the connection to the divine. And as you feel that connection feels you. And there's this beautiful wave of love that comes your way from that connection. There we go. So now from this place, from the place of the sacred chamber, you're going to feel into the energy of what it would be like to be at the level of Oprah. And for the rest of you, whoever it was you decided, of Marianne Williamson. What would your life feel and look like, Kat? At the place of Oprah. And for the rest of you, just feel that. Feel what it feels like. What does a day in the life look like? Where are you living? What does it look like? What does your house look like and feel like? What does the, who's in your life with you now? Who's supporting you from a business and a friend perspective? And you may have new friends and you don't have to know what they look like. You can just feel their essence. Who are they? How are they supporting you? what does it feel like to be in that place of helping so many? Feel what it feels like for your audience. What do they experience? Can you feel the tears and the joy that they experience from you and your gifts? I feel that. And the rest of you, feel that. Feel that energy. What do you have for lunch? Where are you? Where do you go for lunch? Are you? What's your routine? What does it look like? More importantly, what does it feel like in your body as you go through your day in this place that's very similar to the people you want to emulate? What does it feel like in your body? Are you comfortable? Are you satisfied? Are you stronger? Are you emotionally fed? Are you loved? Are you loving? And move now into the evening. Where are you going for dinner? Who are you hanging out with? Who's coming over? Who are you with? Feel their support and love for you, how they just adore you for who you are. Not just for your accomplishments, but for who you are. And you in turn love and adore them, and you see each other. And you drive maybe an expensive car home. And you can feel the beautiful interior of this dream car of yours. And have another moment of gratitude in that moment of, I did it. I'm here. Feel the leather. Feel your hands on the steering wheel. Feel what streets you're driving on. And as you pull into your home, you have that same moment of almost pinching yourself. This is my home. Look at that. I did this. And when you get home, you look at your email, and there's emails from people of prominence that are telling you how you've helped them and how they want you and how they want you to do their thing so that they can influence their audiences because you are changing lives. And you think back about some recent thing that you've done and how that you got this huge response of people. They're emotionally sharing with you how you've helped them. And then when you're online, you take a look in your bank account, and you're like, wow, look at that. And you have this moment of heartfelt gratitude because every penny in that bank account represents someone who you've helped and changed. Every penny represents someone you've been of service to and whose life is likely different now because you were part of it. Every penny. So that energy of money now becomes an energy of service. And you can see how that energy creates a trail out into the world of love and compassion and joy, and it creates a tenfold increase because of that. And now you have a beautiful, you get into some wonderful PJs or not. You go to bed. You might be with a partner. You might not. You just notice what you're feeling. And you think about your day, and you have gratitude for your day. You think about what tomorrow's going to bring and the adventure that's going to present itself tomorrow and the opportunities that are going to present themselves tomorrow to be of service, to show up fully and authentically, to create other people's dreams as you create your own. And you go to sleep. And now you bring your attention back to this room, back to this moment. You might shake your arms and your feet a little bit. When you're ready, you're fully present.
Wow. So it really is about seeing it and believing it, and then you can achieve it. I mean, that's sort of...
Yeah, and it's really about feeling it. Really, that's it. The emotional component is the catalyst. The emotional component is the catalyst.
So combining this, seeing it and feeling it, as you're saying, and then connecting, is it fair to say, you talked about how much you love Joe Vitale and you wanted to connect with him, and you, maybe you didn't know how or how that might or might not, how it might manifest, but you knew that you wanted to be connected with him somehow because you were drawn to what he teaches, what he, who he is.
Yeah, yeah, and the how doesn't matter. All that matters is that that you want something and that you want it from an authentic and honorable perspective. When I first reached out to Joe, I didn't reach out because I thought he could help me. I reached out because I loved him. And that, but then the rest of it shows up on a silver platter. Now, you can still want something with intention, and you can pursue someone with intention, but make sure that your energy is in alignment with what you're looking for. Because people can tell when you want something because you want something, and you want something because you love them, or you want something because they're going to get something back. And here's a big piece of business, a big piece of business. I know Gina talks about this too. What's in it for them? That is the most important thing. And that also puts you in a place of service. A business strategy, especially in partnership and online stuff, is a lot about partnership. What's in it for them? So you go after someone with because you need them, you better have a really strong proposal on why they need you more. And even if you are nothing, okay, healing with the masters is an interesting business model. I had a list of 1,200 people. I had nothing. And I went to these people and said, and how joint venture stuff works is that, you know, I was able to create a gross impressions of 300,000. And I took that to my speakers that I asked and said, we have the potential to hit 300 to half a million subscribers through this program. And that's, I had nothing, but I told them the truth. I said, this is a potential. And this is what you're participating in. And most importantly, you're going to be talking to an audience who's ready, demographically accurate. And on top of that, you're going to be changing lives. And I love you. I've read every single one of your books. All the speakers on my show, well, there's a couple of exceptions. There's some new folks that I've had that my audience now loves. And I take the cues from my audience now. But when I first started the show, the first two seasons were full of people that I've had their books on my bookshelf for years. I've always wanted to talk to them. So you approach this stuff from a place of authenticity. And from a business perspective, you approach it from – the worst thing you can do in business is approach someone and say, I am in really rough shape and I need your help. I don't want a business partner who's in really rough shape and needs help. I want a business partner who's in really rough shape and is taking tremendous effort and strides to not be in rough shape. Who's approaching me saying, I have this amazing idea, here's my business plan, here's what I can do, and would love your help, but I also think you're going to benefit by these 8 points. You can tell the truth about where you're at. Just don't say, I'm a victim and you have to help me.
Right. Not
you say,
me.
You say, here's a business proposition and I could use your help. But you're going to get a bunch of stuff out of it. I mean, you can't believe some of the things I get. People saying, I want to trade with you. I don't really have anything to trade, but I want something free, and I want to pretend that I'm going to give you something back. Gosh, yeah, can you feel the energy of that? I'm not interested.
Right.
And but when people...
We only have a couple of minutes left.
Oh, okay.
So I want to wrap this up, and then we've got to hit the high points again.
Okay.
But finishing with it, right, so going to people and you're saying, you can't just go and say, hey, help me because, or I might help you back someday, because you're right, that feels inauthentic and just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and it's not that the leaders need something, but it's human nature. You know, and it's also, they're successful because they're probably savvy business people, and they see opportunities, and if you're not approaching them with a valid opportunity, even though you're excited about it, you better show them how they're going to win.
Right, absolutely. So now, because I think we have just about maybe 60 or so seconds left,
okay.
I want to say, first off, Jennifer, I truly believe that you're an emerging leader. I just, I say that with all of my heart. I think you're an emerging leader this time, and I hope that we have you back on this show at some point in the future. And I think everybody got something profound here. Quick place, best places for them to go to get more of what you're talking about is, go ahead.
Okay, so healingrelease.com is kind of my catch-all site. It will lead you to everywhere else. healingrelease.com. If you go to products, it has my products. If you'd like to book a coaching session, you can get personal coaching sessions with me. I would recommend Healing Life, Healing Business for this audience in particular, because it does all of it. It clears the obstacles and it gives you the content entrepreneurs are looking for to part of the credibility branding model to move forward. And that's healingrelease.com/healingbusiness, but it's also available on my product site. Bigbookofyou.com is how to access my book. That's the only place you can also buy the teleseminar that accompanies the book. Actually, I have to fix that. But bigbookofyou.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm bigbookofyou on Twitter. And I do healings almost every day with my folks on Twitter. I throw it out there. I'm doing healings. You can put your name in, and I'll do a healing with you. I do group healing.